Good morning and welcome to All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green. It's Sunday the 23rd of August. My name is Francis Blight and I'm pleased to be back with you after my summer holiday. While I was off, my family and I were able to spend a few days with my mother in Windsor. Sam turned 13 and we celebrated his birthday with his aunt and cousins, and we enjoyed a number of trips to Frinton Beach. I hope that you're doing well during the summer season, and I look forward to catching up with you during our Zoom virtual coffee from 11:30 a.m. this morning. We are live streaming from Fordham Church this morning, but without a congregation present. Next Sunday, we'll be opening the church again for a public worship service. Today's sermon recording comes from Church Society and will be preached by George Crowder. We look forward to his teaching from Matthew's Gospel on the subject of fear and doubt. All the content that you need to participate today can be found in a Bible and in the notice sheet. If you're joining us for the first time, the notice sheet is available through the church website, and we'll be using the new international version of the Bible, the NIV. Today's Bible reading will be read by Simone Russo, and later in the service, Rachel Gage will lead us in prayer. A verse from today's reading as we begin. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 31. Then Jesus' disciples who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, a gift from you. We come before you now to focus our hearts and minds on you. You are our mighty Creator, and Jesus is your precious Son. You are worthy of our worship. We ask that you will speak to us through your word this morning. Increase our trust and faith in you during these days when our society is being shaken. We bring our fears and doubts to you, asking that you will replace them with a strengthened faith. Please lead us now in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first hymn today is called 10,000 Reasons. For several years, it's been the most sung song in UK churches. You can find the lyrics on page 3 of the notice sheet. Whatever your circumstances, when you're young, when you grow old, God is full of goodness and kindness, and he is worthy of our worship.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song.
Reasons for my heart to
draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
Yes, Father, we worship you today. You are rich in love. You are slow to anger. You are full of kindness and goodness. We celebrate you this morning. There's nothing that you can give us that is more wonderful than yourself. There's nothing we can possess that is better than you. Thank you for your promise in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So we look to you during this trial, Lord, that you've brought upon the world, praying that you will help us to stand firm at this time. Keep us from turning our hearts to other things. Guard us through the worries of this moment. Protect us from wealth's deceitfulness. Keep us from losing interest in you and strengthen our loyalty to you today. And as we pray, we come to acknowledge our sinfulness together. The words of the confession are on page 2. A moment of quiet. When I say, in your mercy, forgive us, please respond, Lord, hear us and help us. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We've lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Grant, we ask, merciful Lord, to your faithful people, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's pray together using today's collect prayer from the foot of page 3. This is a prayer asking God to give us his grace so that we can receive the benefits of his promises in the Bible. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Simone Russo is going to read today's Bible reading.
Today's Bible reading can be found in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come onto the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Simone. Let's declare our common Christian belief using the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 2. People of Christ, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today's sermon, entitled Fear and Doubt, will be preached by George Crowder. George is a regional director of Church Society and the vicar of St. John's Over in Cheshire.
Well, hello. Let's pray. Father, as we learn from Jesus today, help us with our fears and our doubts. Help us to trust in Jesus more. Amen. Well, the picture of Jesus walking on water is one of those enduring images that everyone loves. It's an iconic moment. This is a green basilisk, commonly known as a Jesus lizard. It can walk, or rather run, on water, hence it got the name. Walking on water is an idea that fascinates. I don't think many people know what to make of it, but it looks great. One reaction is to try to do it by some means. Isn't that what surfing is all about? And there are some marvellous inventions as well. The idea of walking on water has captured our imagination, but we tend to respond in quite a silly way, don't we? The disciples were confronted by the one who really could walk on water, the Son of God. How did they respond? In short, badly. They responded first with fear and then with doubt. But Jesus taught them some lessons about being his disciples, and these are lessons that we can learn from too, about how we should respond to the Son of God. And he says, do not fear. Do not doubt. The power of the Son of God is available to all. So first, let's think about that first thing. Do not fear. Verses 22 to 27. Jesus dismissed the crowd, sent his disciples off fishing, and went to pray alone. Meanwhile, the weather is getting increasingly worse on the lake. Look at verse 24. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. It's the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And the men are going to be tired and dispirited. Grey light of morning just filtering through the mist and the spray. Then their hollow eyes fix on a strange sight. There's a figure walking towards them, walking on the waves. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. If you look at verse 26, it doesn't say whether they recognized him or not. They just maybe thought he was some sort of ghost, and they were terrified. Jesus had calmed a storm. He'd just done an amazing thing with some bread and fish, and he implied that he was going to catch up with them. Who else could it be? And who better? That they should be relieved. But they aren't tuned in. They're predisposed to fear rather than trust in the power of Christ. Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Faith, not fear, is the right response to Jesus. Faith in him, faith in his power to save us, faith in his love to be willing to save us. And this is a moment of revelation, a glorious moment. Christ comes to be with his disciples. He comes to dispel their fear. And fear can be a barrier. As lockdown restrictions are lifted, will you venture out into those public places? Will you send your children to school? Will you travel? There's fear. And do we entertain fear that becomes a barrier to seeing Jesus? Does our faith, fear displace our faith in Christ? What fears stop you from seeing Christ? Maybe it isn't the ghosts of the dead, but the ghosts of the living. Fear of what others think of you. Their spirits sit in the front stalls of your self-esteem like a fiendish panel of X-Factor judges. You can't see Jesus who loves you, who died for you, because you're lost in a fog of worry about being valued and appreciated by your critical cohort of contemporaries. You fear their judgment, you long for their approval. You've made them unknowing idols, passive worship targets, silent stakeholders in your ambitions, unwitting masters of your worldview. And if I'm describing this problem accurately, it's because I know the territory all too well in my own life. Jesus says, do not fear. Do not fear the ghosts of others. Do not fear anything. Do not fear the curse of ill health. Do not fear the loss of material wealth. Do not fear the threats of evil people. Do not fear uncertainty. Do not fear change. Do not fear rejection. Do not fear loneliness. Do not fear suffering. Do not fear pain. Do not fear death. Jesus has the answer to the sum of all fears. He has an answer to death. He stands over the deep and is not drawn down into it. Take courage. Jesus is here. Do not fear. He knows your name. If you're living for him now, you'll be living with him forever. Do not fear. Or second, do not doubt, verses 28 to 33. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, verse 28, tell me to come to you on the water. I think this is a response of a follower of Jesus who wants to join in with him, doing his miraculous works. Jesus has been encouraging that in chapter 10, and even in the recent feeding miracle. So Jesus says, come. And Peter is over the side, tottering over the surging peaks and troughs towards Jesus. And then it all goes a bit wrong, verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Peter started to doubt. He was being held up by nothing other than Jesus' power. His senses suddenly tune into his surroundings, the howling gale, the raging sea. His faith in Christ vaporizes and his body is plunged into the water. And he screams for help. Well, he still has faith in Christ to save him. Jesus responded immediately. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And Peter's experience is an excellent picture of doubt. Jesus is there with demonstrable power over the wind and the waves, standing on the water without sinking. But Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and starts to focus on the wind. Our life in Christ is sustained by God's grace. We're like Peter on the waves. Jesus holds us up miraculously. We have no way to God without him. We have no hope beyond this world without the cross. We have no future in eternity without the resurrection. Without faith, we sink into doubt and hopelessness. But you know, we can all struggle with doubt from time to time. What makes us doubt? What takes our focus off Jesus? What seems more credible and believable than the Lord of glory? So we reject our hope in him. Or perhaps the storms of life hollow out gaps of uncertainty. A breakdown of a relationship with parents, with a brother or sister, with a husband or wife. And the greater part of our identity as a Christian seems to have been eroded away because we were in a Christian family, or in a Christian couple. But what about if the person who led you to Christ falls away? I've seen that happen to people. Or what about if the church lets you down? Guilt can be a real catalyst to doubt, can't it? How can we be sure of our faith when we face up to our continuing failures? Personal tragedy can leave us cold with despair. Grief, loss, illness. Where is God? It could actually be something positive rather than negative. Have you ever met someone who says, oh, I've grown out of Christian faith. It offered something once, but now I've moved on. I just want to focus on my career or my family. But I know that some Christians just get waves of doubt. And it can be a lonely struggle. You have to put on a face for your friends from church, your parents or your children. You feel ashamed. You feel like a fraud. But it is not unusual. What should we do then when we feel doubt? Well, the answer is on the waves with Peter. Keep our eyes on Jesus. I love taking people out to do my favourite thing, which is rock climbing. One thing that they have to do with this activity is to trust me. We're all chatty and jolly, yomping up the hill to the outcrop, but very soon they put their lives into my hands. It's my experience that almost everyone is all right climbing up. It's when it comes to abseiling back down that things get interesting. They look around, or more likely look down, and feel very, very exposed and decide to stop listening to me and act impulsively. And what do I need to do? I need to reform the relationship with me and to build their trust in order to get them down. Because unless they trust me, they'll just keep doing daft things or just refuse to budge. I think doubt is like this. It's not merely perceptional, it's relational. It's not about how things look, it's about in whom we trust. If we are struggling with doubt, we need to look to Jesus. We need to work on a relationship with Jesus. How do we relate to Jesus? Well, through his word and through his body, the church, through his people. I can tell you that nothing encourages my faith more than hearing about people becoming Christians or hearing about people's experience as Christians in their lives. If you have that sinking feeling, a really simple thing to do is to get a Christian friend around and just ask them about their Christian story, and then we'll share yours and then share what's going on for you. It's a great place to start. The Son of God has come into the world. When Jesus gets into the boat, the storm ceases and the disciples worship him. And for the first time, they declare, verse 33, "Truly you are the Son of God." Jesus is with them. Their fear has allayed. Their faithlessness has attenuated. Their doubt is curtailed. Jesus really is the Son of God. Do not fear. Do not doubt. Thirdly, the power of the Son of God is available to all. Verses 34 to 36. They get over to the other side. Jesus is recognized instantly. Oh, here is the powerful Jesus Christ. Word goes out to the villages and the farms, and people come in droves. And look at the end of verse 35. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. It's Jesus for all. Easy access Messiah. The point is, Jesus came to the world to bring everyone access to his saving power. Everyone who believes in him. He really is the Son of God. He could walk on water. He can separate us from our sins and bring us life forever with our Father in heaven. Have faith in him. Do not fear. Do not doubt. The power of the Son of God is available for all. Well, let's pray. Father, strengthen our faith in our powerful and loving Saviour, Jesus Christ, so that, Lord, we are lifted up when we are sinking into fear or doubt. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
Let's respond to George's message with the song, "Christ is Mine Forevermore." The lyrics are printed on page 3. Thank you.
is here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way. One with Christ I will encounter, I'm in hatred for his name. But mine is armor for this battle, strong enough to last the war. And he has said he will deliver safely to the golden shore. And mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure, Christ is mine.
Rachel Gage is going to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today and lay our hearts before you. We thank you for your provision, protection, and most of all, your hand of mercy that reached out to us and brought us into your family as much loved children and heirs. There are so many things going on around us in our world, our country, and in our lives. Events that bring worries and concerns that can overwhelm us and paralyze us with fear and doubt. Please help us to remove our attention from these things and concentrate our eyes on you, so that we will not fear or doubt, but will take courage. Help us to draw from you the strength that we need to face each day. Help us to remember that you will give us all that we need when we need it, and that even in the most frightening of experiences, we are not alone, for you are with us. Over the past months, many people have seen their hopes, plans, and dreams come to nothing, leaving them confused and distressed. And we also think of those whose exam results have brought uncertainty and anxiety. We ask that you will bring peace to all those whose plans have been changed, and ask that you will help them to make decisions about their future that are honouring to you. Help those who love and serve you to see that you have plans for them, And we ask that they will see this as a moment of realignment in their lives as you work out your purposes for them and in them. This morning, Elizabeth Grote, Alistair's mother, passed away. So we lift Alistair, Linda, Helen, Ashley, and the rest of the family to you, and we ask that you will bring comfort to them in this time of great sadness. We pray for those in our church family who have health concerns. We ask that you will strengthen them and give them peace as they face operations, investigations, or treatment. We pray for the consultants and doctors who are treating them, and ask that you will give them wisdom and compassion in all the decisions needed over their care. We ask that you will give strength and patience to those who care for them at home. We also pray for Luca Ferraggio and ask for healing to the injuries he sustained in the cycle track accident. We thank you for this time when many of us are being able to travel a little further afield. We pray for your protection for all those in our church family who are away from home at the moment. We ask that you bring them safely home, refreshed in mind, body, and spirit. And for those who have been unable to travel to see loved ones, we ask that you will strengthen their bonds of love despite the separation. We pray for our local government, town, borough, and parish councils. Please help those serving in each of these public bodies to act with wisdom and with integrity. At this time when very difficult decisions need to be taken, we pray that they will seek you and make decisions that are right in your eyes. We bring Francis before you and ask you that you will give him guidance and direction for the days ahead, which are, as always, in your hands. Please help him to discern your will and plan for our church family, and strengthen him and provide all that he needs. We ask that if it is your will that a children's and youth worker join us, that you will smooth the path and the right person will come at just the right time. We pray that the drive-in service next Sunday will be a wonderful time together and a time to share the good news of our Saviour Jesus with those who have yet to hear it. Finally, Father, we ask that you help us to live as faithful reflections of Jesus, who in love and compassion reached out into a hurting, broken world and brought peace, wholeness, and contentment. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
To finish our prayers, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer on page 2. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're coming to the end of this service, and let me give you some items of church family news. Next Sunday, on the August bank holiday weekend, we have two live services at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. In the morning at 10 a.m, the Fordham Church will open again for public worship. Reverend Mark Wallace will be preaching via a video with the title Never Despair, and Paul Southern will be leading the service. Places are limited, so please book by Thursday lunchtime and make sure that you read the updated guidance on the website. It's now compulsory to wear a face covering in church unless you have a specific exemption. As usual, the service will be available online so that you can participate from home. In the evening at 6 p.m, we will have our first ever drive-in church here in the Fordham car park by the Black Barn. I'm excited that we're going ahead with this, and our thanks go to Chris and Ruth Reynolds for their hard work behind the scenes to make it happen. This will be our first opportunity to worship God together in song for 5 months. Can you believe it? Andy Jelce will be preaching on the measure of God's love, and I will be leading the sung worship. Please book your car through Eventbrite. The link is on the website and on page 6 of the notice sheet, along with guidance notes, which I ask you to read carefully. Please do pray for this particular service. Pray for Andy preaching and for me preparing to lead. Pray for God's blessing, that nothing will block the service from going ahead, and that it will encourage and build up the church. Tomorrow is Chloe Haver's birthday. She's going to turn 14 years old. So happy birthday, Chloe. Congratulations. And we hope that you have a very good day tomorrow. Last month, I launched a fundraising appeal to resource the appointment of a children's and youth worker to start in 2021. If you didn't hear my presentation towards the end of the podcast on the 26th of July, I encourage you to listen back to that. There are some details on page 8 of the notice sheet. My prayer is that this appointment will strengthen and build up our ministry to young people and their families in the church and in the 2 parish schools. So please will you prayerfully consider if you can financially support this venture. We're looking for a commitment of $90,000 to cover salary and pension for the first 3 years through to 2023. The deadline for pledges is in 3 weeks' time on Monday, the 14th of September. The Sunday before that, on the 13th of September, we plan to have Sunday lunch together in our homes. On the 3rd of May, I preached from Acts 2 with the title Church Life, Back to Basics. We saw that one of the fruits of God giving his Spirit at Pentecost was that the Jerusalem Christians broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So the first church in Jerusalem devoted themselves to being a hospitable and connected community. Eating together at home was a basic building block of their church life together, and this is a model for us today. Government regulations now permit us to meet with one other household in our home. So on the 13th, I'd like to encourage as many pairs of church households as possible to share a meal. This will be a time to connect and enjoy fellowship. You can talk about your experiences over the last few months and all that the Lord has been doing during our time apart. So have a think and a pray. Who could you invite? It might be a whole family, or it might be someone who lives alone. Leslie Southern is going to coordinate the lunch. So please go ahead and invite. And when it's arranged, email or message her to let her know. Her contact details are on page 7. If you'd like to host, but you aren't sure who to ask, or more importantly, if you'd love to be invited, please get in touch with Leslie so that she can pair everyone up. The meal only needs to be simple. It's the hospitality that's the important thing, and the joy of being a guest. So let's pray that this will be a wonderful chance to bring the whole church together. My institution as rector will take place on Thursday, the 3rd of September at 7:30 p.m. Please put the date in your diary. The evening will be an opportunity for all of us to offer ourselves afresh to serving God's purposes in the building of his kingdom. Bishop Roger of Colchester will lead the service, with Bishop Rod Thomas preaching the sermon. We're limited to only 30 people in the building, so I encourage you to make plans to watch the live stream on YouTube. And please pray with me for God's blessing on this occasion. Later on this morning, from 11:30, we'll have our regular Zoom virtual coffee, and I look forward to seeing you, many of you there, and catching up with you. We've come to the end of our time together. We finish with a prayer and the blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to focus on you. We ask that you will turn us away from our fears and doubts, strengthening our faith and trust in you. We offer ourselves for your purposes this week, in our homes, our neighborhoods, online, and in the places where we work. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.